Hi, and welcome to Prague Will Find a Way. I'm Jonathan Block.
And I'm Jay Valade.
And I'm Tim Taddy.
We have a guest today, because there's only one of us sitting here that went to Cruise to the Edge, and it's not Jay or I. So
that's right.
We were going to spend an episode talking about it, and after I was convinced, I spent a half hour trying to convince Jay why we should talk about it. He was like, well, actually, I know somebody who was on it. Would we like to have him on? And I was like, well, that would be the smartest thing to do then, wouldn't it?
We figured firsthand experience is better than us reading reviews and reporting back. So,
okay.
So we thought Tim could give us the lowdown.
So, Tim, why don't you just enlighten us on your Prague chops, your background? Like, how did you first get into Prague?
It's a long story, but growing up as a kid in Minnesota, my father was in a band called Ronnie and the Rockets. So he fell in love with a 16-year-old organist for the church, and I'm the product of that union. And he was told to leave the band. And so Ronnie leaves, that's my dad, and a guy named Robert Zimmerman takes over as the lead guy of the band.
Bob Dylan. Wow.
From Hibbing, Minnesota.
Wow. All right.
Me as well.
Okay.
So,
well, you can stop there. That's more than enough.
Thank you for having me. You got the cred.
Yeah, I mean, you had.
So that's how music became part of my life. And then I had to learn to read music when I wanted to play different instruments. And so it just, Prague was a natural progression. Because I like as many notes as I can find.
You came to the right place.
Was there one band that you got into first, or were there multiple bands?
At about 10, the first album I owned was Led Zeppelin III. My parents were very progressive about that sort of thing. Obviously, that led into the Genesis and Yes era.
Yeah.
Some Gentle Giant dropped in there, but a lot of other things like Creedence and the Blues and Jimi Hendrix and things like that. So I was fortunate to see some of those bands growing up.
Right.
Living close to, you know, New York area. I was in Westfield, New Jersey for high school. So I was able to go to the Garden a lot as a teenager and see Genesis with Peter Gabriel.
Wow.
And see John Bonham on drums, you know. So that was kind of my... But Yes was my favorite.
Okay,
growing up, totally. And
it's why we're friends.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. Excellent. All right. Well, and I'm glad you mentioned other bands too, because one thing on this podcast, we don't kind of have hard and fast lines. We talk about a lot of different kind of music that's progressive in nature. But let's hear about Cruise to the Edge. So, was this your first one? Have you been before?
This was our fifth. I go exclusively with my older son Marco, who likes even more notes than I do. and so, just the two of us until this past week, we took my best friend Ron, and we had a great time, the three of us. So, in 2014, we had missed the first Cruise to the Edge. But then in 2014, there was Prague Nation at Sea, which was organized by Mike Portnoy, Derek Sherinian, Fifth Man. And that still, to this day, was the quintessential Prague cruise ever.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. The lineup was really heavy, like Animals as Leaders and Devin Townsend, even King's X. So you had some hard Texas rock. You had some screamo, you had Periphery, you had a lot of notes, a lot of math rock, Thank You Scientist.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, the likes of Neil Morse Band, and it was just, and Yes, of course, was the, you know, was
on the cruise.
So the Prague Nation at Sea was still set a bar for us every time we went on these cruises, because they also ran the cruise out of the blue or whatever. It's a Moody Blues.
Right.
There is some crossover with John Lodge.
Okay.
So when did Yes stop doing the Cruise to the Edge?
20.
Did they only do like two of them?
No, they did four or five of them.
Oh, they did. Okay.
And, I mean, was it them who really started, or did somebody come to them and said, hey,
I don't think that was their idea.
So once they left, it was like, too bad, we have the name already. It's a business.
Well, Alan White didn't even play drums.
At that point?
4 years ago.
Okay.
And Jay was behind the drums, and, you know, Downs is at keys. And so It was just Steve, basically.
Well, it was always the Steve Howe version.
That's right.
Of Yes. It was never as long ago as when John was still in the band.
And Billy
Chris Squire, was Chris Squire still alive for the first one?
Yes. Okay. Chris Squire made a couple of them. But interestingly, Billy Sherwood on this cruise was a guest with Dave Kirzner. Okay. And he said, you know, there was an equipment problem. And so he started doing the fish, you know, bass solo. Yeah. And he stopped and everybody was like, let's go into long distance. Somebody yelled long distance run around. And he's like, actually, I'm contractually, you know, obligated not to be able to play
the Yes songs.
Unless on this cruise, but maybe next year they'll invite us back.
Okay, so, interesting.
Like a teaser.
Interesting. So,
and so, you know that that's not true, but he just put a plug in there, like, why didn't you invite us?
So this was the fifth one or the sixth
this
one?
This was the fifth that fifth we, okay. But this is the, I think they've had seven.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But in 2014, we went to Prog Nation.
Instead of Cruise of the Edge,
which had a Genesis tribute band that wasn't, I don't even know who was in it.
Okay.
But.
So, all right. So you've been going for 10 years now.
Yes.
To these Prague cruises.
Yes.
How is this one relative to the rest of them?
I would put it right there. I would put it with Prog Nation at Sea. This was the best Cruise to the Edge so far. The lineup was stellar. They brought back Queensryche. I'm not a huge fan, but they brought them
different
back.
Different singer
they
now,
were there.
Right?
Yeah, they were there like 8 years ago.
Okay.
They were solid. Symphony X saw them for the first time ever. Russell Allen is an amazing front man.
Okay.
Great band. Michael Romeo on guitar, you know, Adrenaline Mob.
Hmm.
But your headliners this time around are...
The headliner...
You had Flying Colors.
Right. Yep. Riverside.
Big Train a headliner?
No.
Steve Hackett.
Those are the four major headliners.
Huh. Right? But then you had, you know, all the rest of them, you had, you know, Adrian Belew's there, Tony Levin's there with Stickman. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people who are all interconnected but playing with their own bands.
That's right.
Do they have any, like, off-book, you know, Tony and Adrian playing together for something?
No, typically that was something that was missing from this cruise that I would have said that's one of the cons, is that there were a lot of, like, Trifecta was there. Because Adam Holtzman is there.
Yeah.
And...
No impromptu.
Craig is there. And you're just like, hey, these guys got to get together.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. There was a...
So it was like Steve Wilson's whole side band from whatever was there without
doing their
Steve
own
Wilson.
Things.
Yeah, but never getting together.
No, but Lonely Robot was on board. And that show was a 10 for all three of us.
Okay.
Lonely Robot with John Mitchell.
How about like when you got like... Not this time because... Pete wasn't there, but like all of Transatlantic is there, but they never get together and play.
No, and they were the headliners on the last two cruises for Transatlantic.
Got it.
And Mike Portnoy said when they finished their last tour over in Europe, he said that that's probably it.
Pete wasn't there anyway. But
No.
But like that time that John Anderson played with them. Was that an impromptu or was that planned on the schedule?
Well, what happened was he was like the guest on the ship that, you know, the best kept secret. Well, every year there's a best kept secret that you already knew. Because you could just see that guy. Oh, that guy looks like John. It must be him. Right. Like on the last cruise, Steve Morse. You know who Steve Morse is.
Yeah.
So Portnoy's going to do something with Steve, right? So now this cruise, right at the last week, they announced Steve Morse Band, which is the new band.
Yeah.
They played the night before at a private party that we went to.
Okay.
And they were they weren't even on the t-shirts or anything, or the poster. They were asked to join and play. So they were a last-minute add-on. They did two sets. They were spectacular. Because he's there for Flying Colors.
Right. That's what I thought.
So,
then he had his own band there.
Yeah, so his new band that's going to warm up Dixie Dregs.
Got it.
And
so he's playing all night long.
That's right.
Mike Portnoy isn't the drummer anymore, is he? For Steve Morse? Oh, I'm thinking of Neil Morse. I take it away.
Right.
Okay.
Neil was on board.
No. Steve. Okay. Yes. Yeah. The Dixie Dregs.
So Steve Morse, Dixie Dregs.
With Jordan Root taking the keyboard spot.
Right.
Okay.
So
I was confusing my Morse.
And Steve. Steve is the warm up band.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
So and Alan Morse was on the. So we got. And Neil.
Yeah.
A lot Every of Morse. Morse. All of the Morse. Morse code.
The Morse clan, right? Yeah. Yeah. So what do we got here? We got some lanyard.
This is our laminates as VIP gold, silver, depending on what room.
And this was just for this weekend? No. This time?
This was for last week.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then the schedules we make.
Oh, okay.
We make these schedules. People are walking around with these.
Oh.
And it is a big pain.
Okay.
I make them, and I also have...
ahead of time?
I make them ahead of time.
Okay.
And then I have a machine that I, when there's a schedule change, I can print labels and put it on the back.
Okay, gotcha. Paper. All right.
And I give this to...
The stuff's really small these days.
The people who are, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, like Jordan.
The VIPs.
Yeah.
Like people I like.
I wasn't there otherwise. I definitely would have gotten one.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
So to get in...
Have you always done the VIP?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the difference between the VIP, just for the people who have never been out...
Yeah, my... Right. Is it worth... So they can see if it's worth it or not.
So,
primary seating, early entry, whatever.
Right. You have early entry to all venues in a VIP line, gold first, silver next. Those are the only two status. And... there's, you know, VIP cocktail party and some other stuff that we didn't even bother going to because there was music to listen to. So, but you get a bunch of swag, you know, whatever. This, you know, this kind of stuff, and you wear your...
Oh wow, okay.
You wear your swag.
Your cruise.
But espresso. But 20 minutes prior to showtime, we have carte blanche to go into the venue and sit wherever we want, and invariably, I'm standing with, you know, Ryo Okamoto at his keyboard while they're sound checking.
Okay.
And he just has to bump me out of the way to get around
right.
it. And so that's the best part of the VIP experience is being in these venues and experiencing what they're doing because their sound check is going to be live right there. So their
you
sound
can't hide. Check, there's no backstage.
There's no rehearsal space.
Yeah.
So they let in the GA people, and we've already staked where we want to sit depending on what we're doing from show to show based on the schedule. And, you know, that in and of itself is worth its weight in gold. Also, you have assigned – everybody has assigned seats for the headlining shows. Everybody on the boat, 2,000 people.
So for the Steve Hackett.
Yeah, and the Riverside.
Yeah, and the Marillion.
And the Marillion.
Yeah, okay. And it's always been – so they split them up into – half of the people have a red lanyard, half blue. You have an assigned seat. Well, of course, I've got the second row every time because that's what I want.
Right. Okay.
So I just let the Cruise of the Edge people know I don't need front row. I know who's going to be in the front row because we've seen them and it just they're older than I am.
Right.
Okay. So
impossible.
Well, believe it or not.
So you'll get your turn eventually.
Well, no.
To the front row when you reach that age.
Well, the other shows that we do the front row, and we find ourselves, you know, getting tripped up by cameramen and videographers.
It's easier to. It's a more enjoyable experience for you.
Of course, it's also a lot of these. I don't know about that. I mean, you've been before, so you know that venue. But sometimes you get to a venue and you're like, "Oh, okay, I'm looking up."
And that's a good. And that's a good point. So what we have done, which is, you know, much to the chagrin of other people on board the boat, is we just stand up in the front.
Oh,
go right to the stage, and you'll see video of this cruise.
You're one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, do you know that, you know, Queensryche wants you to stand, okay?
Right, yeah.
Stephen Wilson wants you to stand.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. So I'm looking at the schedule. Tim printed out his lanyard for me. And it starts at either like 10 a.m. or 12:45, and it goes through till last show starting at like 11 or 11:30.
Yeah.
So it is 10 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the morning every day, chock full.
Yes. There's something to
do.
Yeah.
So
16 hours.
Yeah. So you really have to plan your day around everything.
Do you get the schedule before you get on board?
This was
it comes with your swag package.
We had this. But some of this got changed.
Okay,
yeah, of course.
Right.
Because a Q&A or Tony Levin, his Chapman stick didn't make the boat. But fortunately, in 2 days, we're going to be in Cozumel, so they flew it in, and now he could play.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
now is this a VIP only?
No, everybody
gets
this.
That. Okay.
So do you go to any of the Q&As and sit around and listen to them talk? Because you're in the VIP, so you get to hobnob anyway. Yeah.
Right.
So you don't have to listen.
We still see them.
You interview them yourself.
We see them. Yeah, we have that's the other thing. We have a private cafeteria, private restaurant for meals. We have in-room, which we didn't really use this time, but in-room dining 24 hours with a butler. So we can call the butler. Yeah, we have a butler. And which is very, very helpful because we can call him from any phone, including our own, and page him and just tell him that, you know, we need this at 9:30 because we're going from one venue to another. And works out really well.
And we need to hydrate.
We did. And sunscreen. Very important. Sunscreen.
Yeah. So you didn't do the Q&As?
Think next year I will. It's already slated for
next year.
For next year.
So wow.
April 4th.
Wow. So they do. Okay. So I'm just looking down the list for anyone who has not gone online to look at it. But there's lots of Q&As and photo experiences and all that kind of
painting
stuff.
Painting classes.
And, yeah. So there are other things to do than just listen the music. Right. But dueling pianos with...
I know those guys. We have in the past. Okay? Those guys, they got a gig. Okay.
Yes.
They just have that gig.
Yeah.
And the late night karaoke, that's a gig.
Right.
Late night live is where guests have auditioned online and you get 100 tokens and you can, you know, I want to be the drummer for Tom Sawyer. I basically get vetted by the other people that are players and I, with my 100 tokens, I could just say, I'm all in for Tom Sawyer. So basically I have just trumped everybody. And I get to be the drummer for Tom Sawyer.
Wow.
Or I can buy myself into a few different songs.
Got it.
And nice.
And there's a schedule every day for Late Night Live. And these guys, and they practice.
How are they?
They're great.
Yeah.
They're great. And they used to, go on Cruise to the Edge's site, they used to post a lot of it. A lot of it from years back. And invariably, somebody like Neil Morris walks in, grabs a microphone, that happens. I didn't see any of that this year.
Okay.
But McPherson had a fundraising event for the cure of Rose.
Okay.
Cancer for his daughter, and that was $100. But he and Neil and Ross Jennings from Haken, the three of them have their, and Nick DeVirgilio had they played a little bit.
Cool.
So
that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Give us highlights of favorite acts.
What'd you like?
So we saw legitimately 32 full shows.
In how many days?
In five days.
32. Three the night before.
So because you go to
a casino where it was an outdoor District 97, Steve Morris Band, and Marvin all played.
Wow.
So we did that the night before, and then as soon as we got on the boat, Marvin is like, they're everywhere.
I don't know them.
They're called themselves Gypsy Jazz.
Okay.
They're a couple of Israeli kids from Illinois, and they're really good musicians. They did a Jeff Beck tribute one night in one of the venues, but they're everywhere. So they're even on the PA system. So it was interesting. So they did, I think, 11 shows if you look at the schedule.
Okay.
And but everybody else only had two sets.
Okay.
It's great for the musicians. They can bring their family. So you see kids and you see wives and or husbands, depending on who's there. Jane Getter spent some time talking to her. Gave her some schedules. She was very appreciative.
The Flower Kings played.
Flower Kings were spectacular. Because
Flower Kings is one of those bands that I love some of their stuff, but they put out so much music. It's like, it's so dense that there's just so, and they, every album seems like it's a double album, or at least
it's a lot
almost a double album.
It's a lot of music.
That I have a hard time, like, getting into it all. Right. But like Stardust We Are, when it came out, I was like, fantastic. I love it. So I'll buy the next one. And it was just as long. And I'm like, I can't do it. It's
very dense. Yeah. A lot of density.
So Roy, I love just from Transatlantic and the whole thing. And unfortunately, the Anderson Stolt thing.
And 2 years ago, unfortunately, he was, it was during the pandemic. And he got on board and he wasn't feeling well. Oh. And he didn't sing. Even with Transatlantic. So Ted had to come out in front. Hoza had to come out in front for Flower King. So it was really weird. But he was in good form on this trip.
Did you talk to him?
No.
You didn't chat with him?
No.
You're supposed to find out for me when the Anderson Stolt album is coming out, number two.
Okay. Well, next time I have to send you a list. That's right. I'm going to be on the cruise next year. Okay. You can, and I'll bring some things back for you guys. You just got to tell me what you need.
Okay.
I think we're going to the Dominican Republic and somewhere else, but we don't really get off the boat.
He said Billy Sherwood was there. What else do you want? Like, what do you, come on. He's
awesome. He's a good guy. And he did a couple of his solo tunes.
Who was he playing with?
He played with Kirshner.
Oh, right. That's what he said.
Kirshner's all-star.
Yep. Okay.
So, and they're tight. Those guys are just great. Yeah. So what shows were absolutely, first of all, Marillion blew all three of our minds. It was Steve Hogarth. And what he did was second to an opera singer,
He's
at
fantastic.
The Met. He just poured his soul out and just brought it all and left it on the stage. He cried. He laughed.
He's awesome.
He's so good.
Well, and I don't know if you listened to our very first episode, which was I had gone to the Marillion weekend up in Montreal, and we had a fantastic time. But I was doing the critique of it. But then the next episode, I'm like, I don't think I mentioned how awesome your shows are.
Exactly. And
I'm doing the critique for all those who already know Marillion how great the show already is.
Right. It was a surprise for us. Yeah. Because we went in there with low expectations, and within 5 minutes we're just blown away.
They're fantastic. And that was even without Pete and probably without their light show or anything. Yeah, I mean, they probably have a light show.
Oh, they did. Oh, they,
is it video. Their full, the video full whole thing?
With him on the video screen.
Okay. Oh, wow.
He comes out.
Oh, the Invisible Man. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Steve. So that was probably,
And Nick Beggs was good?
Nick was spectacular.
How did he do?
He's Nick Beggs.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He should be knighted.
did he play the stick on any of their tunes or just the bass?
No, just bass.
Yeah, because Pete doesn't ever do that. So it's
I know. I was, that's like,
Yeah.
Nick Beggs is a funny one. I was watching, just because of his now Prague pedigree.
Yeah.
There was some show or a YouTube video about like them trying to get Kajagoogoo back together. And he's a funny dude. Well, particularly because he's moved from that, the pop band.
Far away.
Into this really heavy prog world.
So there was the craziest thing. People were walking around with these little inflatable dolls, and they had his face on them. And it was like, this was your flotation device if the ship
goes down.
And he might have been behind that.
He could have.
Yes, the Nick Beggs life preserver.
Well, because he was the life preserver for Marillion, because he wasn't there.
Could be a side hustle,
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
It's not the only cruise he's
Well, I hope he doesn't get in trouble for that.
Well, All right, so Marillion.
Marillion was great. Lonely Robot, I'm a huge John Mitchell fan.
Okay.
Everything and anything he's ever done, you are and I have to give you 100% of the credit, turned me on to Kino.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this? And then I went down.
Which he says about everything
And I went down a John Mitchell rabbit hole and have spent time with him now when Frost was on the boat a few years ago, two cruises ago. And then
he took over for Francis Dunnery and It Bites, too. So it was like,
He's, and Legacy he's, Pilots,
he's got his,
turned you onto that.
No.
Legacy Pilots?
I don't think so.
Well, your boys, Steve Rothery is on Legacy Pilots, so there you go. So you got it. That's another, and that's old. That's an older band. But, You have to check that
out. All right.
So John was amazing, very nervous.
But he's like, when he, I don't know the Lonely Robot band. Is it just him?
It's he and Craig.
Okay.
So
Craig from Steve Wilson's
Craig
band.
Craig Blundell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know he's been in other things, but that's what I know him
from. Right. Well, it was Marco Miniman. Now it's Craig. Yeah. Yeah. So, and Steve Hackett's drummer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was a natural fit that Lonely Robot got on board, but they had never toured the United States nor played, you know, live like that. And he had a tight band.
Is it technically still the United States?
No. The Gulf of Mexico.
So he still has
international. No,
but a big Train did a couple of shows before the boat. And that was another one of those shows that, like, post Chris Squire, you know, going to see Yes and being like, oh man, the tribute to Chris, and you know, you get all choked up about that, and you can't judge Billy Sherwood based on the fact that you saw Chris 57 times or whatever.
Right.
And my son, I took him when he was in third grade to see Yes, and he stood on the aisle in the second row, and every time John did something like that, he did something like that. And so John was doing his woo, you know. And so he said the same thing. He's like, you know, he's a great musician and composer and everything else, but he's not Chris Squire. So it's the same thing with David Longdon, the head man, the lead man, and
Big Train.
Yeah. And now they bring in the lead singer from PFM, who's Italian. Mm. He blew my mind. The new album, he's so good. Love is the Light. That song is one of my favorite songs. It will probably go down as one of my favorite songs ever. Just right. Because of what it's about.
Hmm.
And just like a tribute to David and a tribute to life. And he wrote that song. And Albie, that's his nickname.
Yeah.
Alberto. Hmm. So Big Train, those guys knew nothing about Big Train or Lonely Robot. I'm a fanatic of both bands, but I didn't want to jinx that with them. Even Marillion, like, let's just go see.
You can't play it
right.
up. Because otherwise you get in trouble.
You can't.
I've learned that lesson.
Got to temper expectations. For sure.
I made a whole bunch of people go see Jane Sibbery one time, and they're like,
thanks.
She's the kookiest person we've ever met. I'm like, but she's so awesome. And they're like, you're awesome as our kooky. So, you know, I don't know.
That's right.
You're right. Yeah. No, you've led me astray once in a while.
It happens.
But, I mean, you know.
Everything's like, not for everybody.
Yeah. You know, he's turned me on to a lot of music. So.
And vice versa.
And conversely, I think.
Absolutely.
My taste is a little elevated, but.
Or heavier.
Heavier. But I have to be on next year's cruise because a little birdie, meaning the trumpet player for Thank You Scientist, let me know that they had signed on for the next cruise.
Okay. All right.
And
I saw them over at FTC.
Well, then you saw me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had like 13 people there. Were you okay with that show?
Oh, I liked it.
They lost.
That was fun.
They lost a singer. He left.
Oh, he did. Oh, right.
So, but they
we can have a sidebar on that one.
So we're,
no, it was just the voice Adrian, coming out of that guy was not what I expected.
I know.
They played at FTC.
They did.
Really? Okay. Are they local or no,
Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but so somewhat local.
Yeah, it's a big prog scene in Jersey.
But they're just spectacular.
So, all right, who else did you see? I'm looking down the list.
Symphony X, if you know anything about them, they are heavy. They've been around for 30 plus years. Russell Allen is an amazing singer, amazing voice, amazing frontman. And their second set out on the pool stage late at night, traveling back to Miami, they did The Odyssey. And to me, that's just one of those prog tunes that, you know, it's just an epic song. So it was really great to see that and be a part of that. And a lot of great sing-alongs with them. Queensryche was Queensryche. You know, just heavy, heavy, heavy.
Like, do you go see Jeff Tate when he's here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
don't choose sides?
No.
Okay.
I like him better.
Okay.
Because he's just...
He's the voice.
It's the voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Adrian? Did you see Adrian?
Adrian, we saw Adrian. We always see Adrian, both sets. He did typically, you know, it's King Crimson Littered.
Yeah.
And a couple of his solo things.
Now, is he alone, or is he with his the same three?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's just a monster. Yeah.
We saw them at Toad's Place. It was Stickman
and the Adrian.
And then they came out together and played stuff.
At the end, they played a bunch of Prince and stuff. Yeah.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
Stickmen were great. They only got to play once.
No cross pollination there?
They only got to play once because he didn't have his bass. Oh. So Adam Holtzman tried to jam with Pat and Marcus. It didn't really work out too well.
And no one would lend him a bass?
Well, this is the
he needs the stick.
So this is
but he could still play other songs.
He could have.
When he played with, you know, Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, you know.
Yeah, the funk fingers.
Yeah, Like, just take somebody's four string.
Believe
bass.
Me, most people aren't going to know the difference. He I'm was sorry just being.
Oh, the stick, though, is.
Oh, but I know, but there's a lot more. Marcus, Marcus is doing a lot.
He could have taken one of Marcus's guitars and tuned it down.
Yeah, he could have done something. Or just play bass, but I'm sure there was a legit Tony. I'm sure there was a legitimate reason.
Tony's a very cool guy. I don't think he's a powder.
No.
That's why I'm saying there's probably a legitimate
that they didn't have his
reason.
Understood, but I mean,
like how
now it would be different if it was his espresso machine. That would have been a complete freaking disaster.
Well, he probably had one in his room because I did.
Was he just out taking pictures instead?
Yeah, he was just hanging out and. Pouting.
Oh.
No, I felt bad for him because it was so like, you know, there were people saying, well, just pick up another bass. It's like, no. That's like a lifeline. Yeah. You know, that's your thing.
I got it. I hear you.
It's the tools of your trade.
Understood.
So, but they cranked it. They crushed it, the three of them.
Oh, when they did come out.
They did play.
He made up for it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, he's probably like, it's not like I'm not going to play. It's just going to be, I'm not doing it today.
Yeah. Exactly.
There we go.
I'm missing one show, and I still got paid.
Exactly.
What?
And anyway. Steve Hackett was... What show was he doing? Was it the...
His new album?
He did two or three songs on the new album, but mostly the Genesis Revisited stuff.
Okay.
Because, you know...
And was that his whole...
Nad is there.
Yeah.
Who played who played guitar for him
this bass time? You mean
Jonas played bass. Jonas.
No, because when we saw him
Steve Hackett was Roy
Stone.
It was Roy played bass.
Played bass, yeah. And now it's the bass player from the Flower Kings playing bass.
No, so Jonas plays with everybody.
Okay.
And he's always been Steve Hackett's bass guitarist, and Craig is a drummer. So
why was Roina playing?
I think that was the transitional period too, because his drummer was Gary something for years.
Yes,
and then he had I can't remember who the bass player was. This would have been because this is over 5 years ago. Roina was only there for the tour, that one tour.
Right. Yeah,
and then he. But when we saw him, the same drummer, Gary, was still there. He had a transition with some players. Roger King, I think, is still with him, though.
Yes.
But keyboards.
But I know he's had some other changes.
That was a great show when we saw it. And
that was good. Very, very good.
Nad did a fantastic job with all the vocals.
Nad's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's just Riverside, great band from Poland. Their new record, to me, is just, you know, it got me through COVID. It's tight. It's uplifting. It's pop. Marius Duda is just a brilliant human being. He's got his side projects and, they lost their guitarist, tragically about 5 years ago, maybe six now. And it seemed like maybe they weren't going to regroup and get things together, but he rose up and, they're just one of those bands that, you know, makes you want to jump up and down for an hour and a half.
Cool. And, How about some of the older bands? Did you see Wishbone Ash?
Wishbone Ash was great. They did two sets on the pool stage.
Yeah,
they were great. Martin Barr was fine. You know, it's all Jethro Tull.
Tull tunes. Yeah.
So what is his? What is his gig? Does he have a singer with him or?
Yeah, he has a front man who has kind of an Ian Anderson voice, but the guy plays guitar.
Okay.
And British fellow. You can tell by the teeth. So,
wow.
well, they're the first one to say, you're from the United States, aren't you? And I'm like, yes. Why would you say that? You
know, because your teeth are
perfect. Because your teeth are white. Yes. They're not brown like Guinness.
Right.
So it was just... Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no.
No, that Wishbone Ash has been, I think, on this cruise from the beginning.
Oh, really?
And I think Queensryche was on the first one, which we didn't make.
Yeah.
We did that Prognation at Sea. So, I mean, they have extended alumni, you know, invitations.
Right. But we saw Wishbone Ash here as well.
That's
a
right.
A lot of these bands make FTC, their way.
Yeah. Yeah, they were at FTC. This, yeah. 5 years ago,
at least,
maybe.
Yeah.
It was an excellent show. Excellent show.
Yeah.
Well, it's really, you know, at one point there was two versions.
Right.
But there's a lot of bands that do that.
Right.
One guy's in the U.S. and another's overseas.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious because when you say, oh, it was a great year, and I'm assuming that all the like logistics and operational stuff is fine too. Because even if the music is good and that goes south, like, right. Do you still say, like, have there been situations where you've been like, oh, you know, but the music's so good?
Yeah. 2 years ago, there were a lot of technical issues.
Oh, okay.
You know, just everything was kind of going sideways. And whatever they did, now there was a clock. I mean, they were putting these guys on a timer and basically, you know, let's go.
Right.
And so it'd be like, all right, we only have time for one more. We're normally, because there's going to be another band that has to be on that stage at 6:30 and then another one at 9 and another one at 11. And so, you know.
You don't get the...
Yeah, there were times where Focus and Nectar are going on at 2 o'clock in the morning because everybody... Just push their set.
Right, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 here, there,
Got it. And so that doesn't happen.
Well, it happened on the last night, big train at the pool. It was really windy. They got a lot of people in that band. There's 10 people in the band. And they were supposed to go on at 4, and I don't think they came on till 5 because of technical issues.
Yeah.
Well, they had to cut their set short because it's like, hey, the next band on the pool stage needs to be, you know, taken care of here. You just because you're having problems,
right,
doesn't mean that you're, and this was the thing that was, you know, so they really tightened it up.
Hmm.
They really, you know, we got to get going. Let's go.
That's
go,
cool.
go.
And the food and the rooms and everything. I mean, good.
Oh yeah. It's this ship was used for Prognation at Sea in 2014. So they know, they understand the rigging. They understand the crowd. They understand the musicians and that whole scene.
How was the crowd?
Well, it's a lot of prog people. So,
I don't know what that means.
Well, does that mean they're all aged males, or is there a mix?
You know, probably. I mean, I'm in my 65th trip around the sun, so, and I didn't feel like I was the oldest cat in the room. So there's
he wasn't in the front row.
Yeah, I know. Remember? Well, you're
so
still sobering because you're only one row back.
Exactly. But these are obviously, there's a lot of musicians, of course, and a lot of these people, when you go to their concerts, even stateside, will say good evening musicians because they know that, you know, a lot of the people are here to see our prowess and our chops.
Right. Yeah.
And so very appreciative crowds, you know, everybody's calm.
No craziness.
No, it's not like, apparently the Monsters of Rock cruise was a couple of weeks before that, and there's, you know, like people going overboard and, you know,
like, they say that behavior for the smooth jazz cruise.
They have to swab the deck all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because you're on a boat, so you're running into the musicians a lot.
Yes.
Any cool encounters you had this trip? And do you get more acts? Do you see more because you're VIP or everybody's just everywhere?
Well, we see everybody in the private dining areas.
Okay, so the musicians are using the private dining
areas. And how are they with that?
We don't talk to them.
Okay.
Typically, we don't. Or if we do, it's kind of, thank you for, you know, fantastic sex.
Just a side.
Well-behaved.
A quick.
Fantastic
sex. No fanboy moments.
Right, thanks for doing this particular song, or thanks for this, or, you know, I knew you were nervous up there, and you know, you plowed through it. And
otherwise, you know, those dream fans,
right? Yeah, and I always had
best fans there.
But they've got to be prepared. They've got to be prepared for that.
Yes.
Right? They're on a boat with a bunch of people who are only there because...
There's no getting off stage and getting into a helicopter and being flown back to the mainland.
Yeah. And I'm in a hotel under the name whatever. You're not doing that. You're on the boat.
You have to get to the mess hall.
Yes. You still got to eat.
This is not Ross Jennings. Yeah, no, that... Yeah, you give them their space, and if you see an in, and maybe it's just a quick quip, we're not going to be that person that starts chewing the fat with somebody. And if that is happening, you know, one of my colleagues last week would kind of butt in and go, "Hey, thanks so much for that, you know, blah blah blah," and that kind of diffused the conversation of Jay. Just,
it wasn't me.
Just giving, just like sitting in Steve Hogarth's lap.
Right.
So, you know.
But do you get to any of those opportunities if you are are they open to that, or are they more like, dude, I'm here to play my gigs.
Okay, so
I understand that, and I'm happy to sign an autograph or whatever, but I'm here with my family.
Right. Those are the band. If there's, I would assume if they're like that, those are the bands that come one year and you never see them come again because they're like they can't deal with everything that's around it.
So last Friday morning, boat's still in the port, and so all the VIP people and bands and stuff are let in first, and then a couple hours later, people start trickling in, and we went up to the main area. We can't get to our room yet, and Ross Jennings, the lead singer for Haken, goes and sits by himself, and he goes and gets some food at the buffet or whatever. He's sitting there, and I want to give him schedules. So I just went over there, and I said, I don't want to interrupt you. I just, here's the schedules. And he goes, he looks at me, and then he sees my son.
Posse.
Well, no, just my son, because we had our Cruise to the Edge stuff on. At the Haken show in Ridgefield exactly 7 days prior.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, "I recognize you from Ridgefield."
Oh.
And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Yeah, you were right up front." And he goes, "Great show." He goes, "Weird place." So, and I didn't want to bother him. I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, he goes, "I met a whole bunch of 80-year-old people before we went on stage." and I'm like, I don't think they should be here for this.
Well, it's kind of funny. This is an aside with the Ridgefield thing, because they get some great acts up there. But I don't know that it's the venue for everybody. And I don't know why those people aren't coming to other venues that are closer to us.
I.e. with the two big venues we have in town now, which seem to split in the middle of different things.
Given the fact that that show would play fine.
Right. It's a strange venue anyways.
You know what I mean? Play,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I don't know if it's a ticket price thing or whatever, because up there in that, it's an aside, but and they have season ticket holders, and that's they have all this stuff. And so if you don't know what you're getting into.
Right. Well, and that's the seats that we had.
Yeah.
Were season ticket holders that we paid for.
Okay.
A friend of a friend, but we had to pay for the tickets in the second row, and ran into people that were going to be on the ship.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Fun. And that's wild.
And we spent some time with them, so that was cool.
Yeah.
And the thing was, is that Ross, and again, you go back to interfacing people. I said, "Yeah, it's a little funky." He said, "Do you live there?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "It looks like there's a lot of money there." and I said, "Well, I can tell you that during the intermission, I went to, you know, I went back to get a drink, and they felt like their heads were getting blown out." he goes, "Yeah." I said, "It's a lot of nodes for most folks, but not me, of course." And I said, "Are you here with your wife and kids?" He's like, "No, I'm alone. So if you want to, you know, you want to chat."
That's cool.
He was nice. By himself.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. That is good.
So it was great.
So those opportunities do exist. Yeah. Not that, you know, being that we have a podcast, of course, we would be like,
oh. Well, you know, and Jay would be in everybody's face with Steve, comment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the typical, you know,
comment like, for the press.
Yeah, you do the typical, hey,
yeah,
you know, great show.
Great show.
You. Yeah, and they're like, thanks, man.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
And awesome.
I'm there VIP for the opportunity to be up front and have, you know, have first dibs wherever I want to go.
Right.
But it's not that. We do, you know, we do VIP for Dream Theater. We do VIP for every, you know, backstage situation. Toto, you know. The point is I don't need to go meet and greet. I just...
Right.
If you I just want your spot.
This sounds like, well, and also this seems, you know, like if it, it seems like the closest point, you know, the straightest line between points A and B.
That's right.
Because you're on a ship for that's X right. amount of days. You know, that right. seems to add just right. a little more relaxation around
right,
rather getting from one place hustle. To another, which you have to do anyways. So
no.
It makes a difference.
I'm sure it does.
Makes a difference.
It's
cool.
And
you'd go back again.
You'd go back again.
The minute they already announced, I have a poster. Next year's 2025.
There you go.
This podcast has not been sponsored by Cruise to the Edge Inc. However, you know.
And I'll do the
clearly. Got almost a year here, yes, so right. It sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, you get to eat. Drink, listen, and wear whatever you want for 5 days.
I do actually. Go ahead.
No, I had one more question because you've been, you know, so many years. What's changed? I mean, have you noticed any changes?
I think they're getting better at how they organize and how they actually manage the physical plant on board. They're getting rigging on quickly. They're getting stages set up quicker than before. We had a problem in Tampa 2 cruises ago where the boat had to stay offshore because of fog for 10 hours. So now we had to scramble. Instead of getting on the boat at 10 a.m., we got on the boat at 10 p.m. And then everything went sideways from there because...
Got it.
You know, it's...
Which, but those sort of things have got to happen. I mean, you hit wavy
disease,
and all of a sudden shows have to get canceled or postponed, right?
Right.
And then what do they do?
Well, there's a situation with other cruises of this kind where they've fortunately not cruised to the edge because of, you know, these musicians are pretty savvy individuals in society. But like there was a techno cruise on board this ship a few months ago where they confiscated so many drugs before with drug sniffing dogs that 15 people who were musicians in the bands
were
arrested. So
I thought you were going to say, and nobody, so no one in the audience was high and everybody actually heard the music and they were like, why are we here?
Yeah, you know, you didn't see anybody getting sloshed.
Right.
You know, the drink package, you know, would have been a waste of money. You know, that's
for you.
It actually sounds more mellow than a regular cruise.
So Cruise to the Edge, right? They basically charter the boat.
Okay.
So Norwegian Cruise Lines in this case, and in the past we've also been on Royal Caribbean, they just sold the boat for that week, the hotel, the floating hotel. And then anything they can get from you, the cruise line with the drink package and, you know, going to the steakhouse and paying extra money, that's what they want to do. Using the spa, which nobody who listens to Prague goes to a spa, right? You know, so, and the paid D classes, I mean, come on.
So, right. So any, how about your travel companions? They have the same experience as you?
Yeah, or I think so.
Rose-colored glasses on this thing?
No, I think so.
Okay.
We weren't pleased 2 years ago because they combined the Moody Blues cruise out of the blues. So they had Moody Blues people and Moody Blues fans migrated because they lost money because they canceled that. Enough people.
Yeah.
Participants. And so they brought in Al Stewart. They brought in like 5 or 6 or 7 different bands that would have been on that ship. which kind of toned down
some of the notes.
Yeah.
Some of the many, yes. many notes.
And brought in a couple hundred people that were in over their skis.
Right.
Yeah. When Haken walked out on stage,
yeah, their prime
the limit Ridgefield is reached. Crowd.
Right, their the Moody Blues is their yeah, prog, is their yeah. prog limit.
Yeah, and, Pink Floyd and right, Moody Blues.
Right, too many notes, yeah. as you said, too many but notes.
This was great because there was a lot of bands that were firsts for us.
Oh, which is good.
Yeah, yeah. that was pretty amazing. Airbag. You know, there's different bands that you didn't expect. I mean, there's other bands that I would love, like things that I'm listening to now, that I would suggest to Cruise to the Edge, like Sowin, okay. you know, the Finnish band. And, you know, there's a lot of great music out there. Pineapple Thief.
Right, yeah. right.
I think I introduced you to them.
I know you did. You did. He did.
Credit where credit's due.
And stories down back yes. in the day.
Oh, so good. And, well, then that was the another rabbit hole, because yeah. that takes you into the Bruce Sword.
Oh world. Yes, world. Yeah. yes. And so awesome. We'll have you back right. for the next
well, thank
one.
You.
Although maybe we'll have to go some year.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm a cruise guy.
I'm not. No. I've done cruises before. Well, I can't.
Of the boat?
Yeah. That's me. Yeah, yeah. I've done cruises before. Not Cruise to the Edge. Yeah. There was no music other than your basic cruise, reggae music. But you have to want a cruise. You can't yeah. get away from that part.
Yeah, I would, you know, Ron, who was with us for the first time, this was the first time he's been on a boat, and it was like a floating bathtub, but he still was yeah. uneasy.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for you guys because I don't have that problem.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I've never done it, so yeah. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I don't want to get out there. Yeah. I don't want to get out there for 5 days. Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Because he yeah. has issues for him, okay. too. So.
My wife has no issues with movement. I mean, we were on a cruise and it was a tropical storm. She had, you know, 80% of the boat. She has no issues. But I, like you said, she's like, hey, we'll go out of the Caribbean. It'll be fine. And it was glad. Yeah. I still feel the movement because it's really two movements. It's not one. You're going forward and you're going side to side. Yeah. So.
Correct.
Anyways, we're getting far afield. Well, but if you know, I think you have to think about that if you want to be on a cruise for 5 days.
Yes, and we ran into some turbulence a few years ago when Yes was on board, and Steve Howe he's a slight man, and he was not holding his ground on the stage. It was like, wait a minute, you can dance to this music?
It's the most he's moved since Asia, right? When he would spread his legs a little.
And people were very uncomfortable on it, you know, for a couple hours on that ship, so that night. So, and Steve wasn't holding his ground.
His pedal steel was rolling.
Yeah. He's kind of bouncing off of Billy. And Downs is a big dude. So, you know, throw him back to the middle of the stage. But that was, we still kid about that.
Yeah. But other than that, it sounds like it would be an amazing fantastic. Experience for anyone who wants to come. So, Tim, yes. thank you very much. Yep.
Thanks, yeah, thanks Tim, for joining coming us. On. This yeah, is great.
Thank you for having me.
First hand experience.
Thank you. Yeah. And we'll
and don't forget to like us and subscribe. I never say yeah, that, but you know, I should.
Yes, we do appreciate people. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks, guys. Prague will find a way.
If you want it to.